Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show. Show. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. We're an all-in-one HR analytics dashboard. And today, I'm here with a very special guest because we're going to talk about a topic that we haven't covered yet. And that topic is conversational recruiting. So if you're interested in hearing all about that, then please help me welcome Joe Motter, Director of Marketing at Brazen, to the podcast. Woo! Joe, thanks
for having me. Long time listener, first time on, so really excited.
Nice. So let's start off with a question that our listeners always want to know, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, it's kind of a, I would say, a non-traditional path that I took to end up in HR talent acquisition. I actually, out of my MBA program, I worked for a media company doing market research and analytics. And early on in my time there, we realized that print revenue and commercials weren't going to be the future of marketing. And so I was part of a small team that actually spun off and started a digital marketing and creative agency. That is the future, or at the time, that was the future of marketing. And during my time there, one of the things that I got heavily involved with was branding and messaging and, you know, creative and positioning. And I created this methodology along with our creative director to help companies create their consumer brand, I'll call it. And we realized that you really can't do consumer branding without understanding the employer brand, without understanding culture. And so I got heavily involved with, through this methodology that I helped create, interacting with talent acquisition teams, with HR teams, because that was the starting point of everything that we did. We said at the core of a company can't be something to the consumer unless that company is living and breathing that within their teams, and that they're finding the right people to align with that mission, vision, culture, that myth, that story, whatever you want to call it. And so I've been working with talent acquisition teams, HR teams, for the last few years, even before I came to Brazen. Now, I've been with Brazen for about a year and a half, and it was a natural kind of transition for me. I went from the agency side to the client side. I always wanted to work for a tech company. And I also saw in Brazen, when I was looking for positions here in DC, I saw a company that just gets recruitment marketing. And actually, they're taking it to what I would say is the next evolution, revolution in recruiting and talent acquisition, which is conversational recruiting. So that's how I got here.
Nice. And that's a great transition for us to talk about, what is conversational recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of it is self-explanatory, in the sense of, I think everyone is innately familiar with conversations and relationship building in our everyday lives. I mean, there's a kind of a connection that we all have with our friends, our coworkers, that is very important for building relationships through conversation. And so there's this whole concept in marketing too, called conversational marketing, which means, if I'm a marketer, the best way to attract prospects, to bring in new business to my organization, is to start conversations as soon as possible. I mean, that's what people at the end of the day want. They don't just want to be marketed to. They don't want to be recruited to. Candidates want to see that an organization cares for them. And one way to do that, or what we believe is the best way to do that, is to start conversations as soon as possible, very early on in the recruiting process. And so our platform, the Brazen platform, actually helps to do that. But there are many ways to start conversations. So that's kind of the concept behind conversational recruiting.
Was Brazen created because recruiters are not having conversations now, or they are having conversations and they just needed a more efficient and streamlined way to do it?
I would say both. I would say that, you know, technology is great. You know, recruiters, marketers, you know, people in finance, I mean, in any industry, in every discipline, technology has kind of taken over our lives. It's everywhere. I think that and there's a lot of positives, you know, a lot of pros that come along with that. But I think that the pendulum has swung maybe a little too far to the technology side, where it's made us a little bit more one-dimensional. We can rely upon, you know, mass emails to candidates to update them on information. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I think that, you know, we look at like the application, for example, it has turned into a very cumbersome process, and the requirements that are needed and the user experience on the careers site to apply to a lot of positions. So I think that in a lot of instances, the technology is kind of, I'll say, boxed out, to use a sports term, the recruiter, to almost prevent them from having the conversations. And, you know, recruiters, there was a time and place back, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, where recruiters were having more conversations with candidates. I mean, job seekers used to walk in the front door with a resume. And that was a great opportunity for an organization to start up that conversation, especially with the ones that they saw, you know, had the credentials and the skill sets and the experience to be a great fit. And so, yeah, I think on one hand, you know, the conversations aren't happening and they need to happen. And then I think that there is an angle, like you said, for conversational recruiting to really play into you know, the conversion of candidates sooner in the recruiting process. So, you know, again, if it's just a website, a careers site, a job rec landing page, there isn't much conversation going on. And so conversational recruiting actually does allow a recruiting team to convert more job seekers earlier on in the process and speed it up. Like you said, if I'm starting conversations with really qualified candidates with top talent sooner in the process, that means that those candidates are less likely to go to my competition. I'm able to fill up my funnel with more qualified candidates earlier on. And then if I continue those conversations, you know, at scale throughout the process, there is a kind of time to hire that can speed up.
Got it. So this is interesting because it almost positions the recruiter as the victim here. A victim of having too much technology at their disposal, which is actually keeping them from having these meaningful one-on-one relationships and conversations with the candidates. So then I will say, how much different do you think recruiters will now interact with the candidates once they're using Brazen as they were before? Do you think that this will be night and day, or is it a more gradual process?
Well, I think it opens up you bring up some good points. I mean, it opens up the recruiters to be more authentic and to be more real, because the candidate gets to know you. The candidate is, you know, exposed to the employer, to the recruiters. But I think in all my interactions with recruiters, you know, that's what they enjoy doing. Is opening themselves up and interacting with the job seekers and giving them an opportunity to talk about, you know, why they like to be at said employer, at their employer so much. Or, you know, the other piece to conversational recruiting is it actually isn't limited to just the recruiters. It opens up the door for hiring managers, which I know a lot of recruiters struggle to get the hiring manager involved in the process. But what better way than to put a job seeker in a one-on-one, a meaningful conversation with a hiring manager to get that hiring manager involved? Because the hiring manager likely wants to talk about their team and the, you know, what they do different, and to give them an opportunity to convince and to highlight to that candidate why that candidate should come work for the team. So it kind of opens up the floodgate, opens up the doors for communication between, you know, the recruiter in a very authentic, meaningful way, as well as the hiring manager. And I think that that's a piece of the puzzle that sometimes gets overlooked. And we hear time and time again from our customers before they bring on Brazen that is a challenge and not so much anymore.
So for the HR leaders that are listening to this and they're thinking, well, we believe we are doing a good job of recruiting today, and whether or not we're having these meaningful relationships or conversations with the candidates, is it necessarily going to make us better or make our workforce better? What do you have to say to them? And what are some of the negative implications that an HR team or a company can see that's happening internally for them to realize that they're not really doing that good of a job at this?
Right. Well, I mean, I would say first off, you know, if the numbers are showing that, you know, you're hiring and things are going well, you know, congratulations, that's great. I would say be cautious, though, because the candidate, in my opinion, dictates and really is the pull in this market for what we need to be doing as talent acquisition professionals. And what I mean by that is, you know, if the candidate demands us to be having conversations sooner in the process and we aren't, then that's going to be a problem. And we have seen trends that this definitely is the case, that the candidate is demanding more and more conversations to occur. I think just looking at, number one, the fact that, you know, I think I read a report recently that 18 to 25-year-olds send about 2,000 text messages a day. We are all connected to each other, friends, colleagues, coworkers, family, through technologies like Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp. And we're, you know, we're all having conversations through these types of technologies. And so, you know, it's becoming more and more a part of our lives. There are other, you know, aspects of our lives that are demanding these types of online conversations. And so even if you are an HR leader, talent acquisition leader right now that is having success doing things the way you've always done them, I'd say just be cautious and keep an eye out for, you know, the heartbeat of the market. You know, what is happening? And by the market, I say your candidates. What are the behaviors that your candidates are displaying, whether in recruiting or not, that, you know, may cause you to rethink whether or not, you know, the technologies or your process is the right way? Because I would argue that, you know, and our clients would argue, a lot of our clients are seeing that things are changing. There is this paradigm shift, and it is very important for leaders to stay on top of those paradigm shifts.
So one of the things that our team at EmployCycle thinks about when we're building our product is that we always look at how the customer lifecycle is pretty much in parallel with the employee lifecycle. And so if we compare how you manage a customer in regards to how you manage a candidate in regards to this conversation, you're trying to have as many conversations and touch points with both. And on the marketing side, we're now starting to see a lot of personalization and customer communication platforms where you can really have meaningful custom one-to-one conversations with customers at scale. So my question is that possible? And is that pretty much what your team at Brazen is looking to do on the candidate side, not only to help more professional service or more corporate environments, but can this also be used for companies at scale that could potentially be hiring hundreds of thousands of people per year, especially in the hourly space?
Yeah, I think so. And we do have clients that are using it for that use case. Now, the way that it's done is to pair the one-on-one, meaningful, authentic conversations with something like our AI-powered chatbot. And so, you know, there's a lot of buzz right now around artificial intelligence and natural language processing, but there really is a huge benefit to involving some level of AI and a natural language processing chatbot in the process, because, like you said, for those high volume roles, the chatbot actually can do a lot of the screening for you, so that the recruiter is only spending time with the most qualified candidates. So, and the other great thing is that the chatbot, you know, it's on your site 24/7. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't, you know, get defeated going through lots of resumes and, you know, talking to lots of people. It's always going to do what it does. And that is, in our case, in Brazen's case, it's going to do that pre-qualification, pre-screening of candidates. And it's also going to capture information. As a marketer, when I think about marketing and my goals for what I'm responsible for here at Brazen, it's about lead generation. It's about capturing candidates. And that is done through conversations. I'm always trying to get to the point where I'm having conversations with prospects. I'm trying to open up a two-way channel of communication. But in order to do that, the very first step is capturing prospect information. And same thing applies to recruiting. So the chatbot allows you to do that with these high volume roles. Capture information, because if the candidate is screened and determined to be qualified, which the chatbot also does, you are now able as a recruiter to follow up and start the real authentic conversations to convince those people that are qualified, the best of the best, that they need to come work with you. So
now that we're bringing in artificial intelligence into a lot of platforms, not just HR.
Yep.
And yep. Some of it is to help augment a person's job. Other types of AI is to help replace a specific job. I'm wondering if this will get to a point, do you see this getting to a point where it's replacing the recruiter, or do you see these AI chatbots helping the recruiter do more with less, do more within less time, and also get to the more qualified candidates faster versus actually them being replaced by an AI chatbot?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. And I think the answer kind of depends on what the time frame is. For sure, and you know, the next 5, 10, you know, even 20 years, I see artificial intelligence augmenting a recruiter's job. And so maybe doing more of those menial type of tasks to really free up the recruiter to do more of what they do best, which is back to what we originally, you know, started this conversation talking about, which is the relationship building, the understanding and the assessment of candidates that I think recruiters really love to do and need to be doing more often in order to bring in the best talent. And so I think in the near or medium term, yeah, it's definitely an augmentation. You know, I'm also a nerd, and I read a lot about artificial intelligence, and not just artificial intelligence in recruiting, but just in general. you know, I think in 100, 200, 1,000 years, yeah, AI could replace everything that we currently do. I mean, when we look at, you know, what is intelligence? I mean, we are intelligent beings that are already bypassed by computers. You know, I can't do arithmetic as well as my computer can do. I can't, you know, play chess as well as many computers can do nowadays. But it's very narrowly focused right now, the intelligence that our computers have and you know, as defined by artificial intelligence. But, you know, I think there could be a case for a time and day when artificial intelligence breaks out of the very narrowly focused things that it does right now and adds some breadth to what it does. And we can already see some of this in you know, the predictive analytics and the machine learning that is a lot of times associated with artificial intelligence. So it's pretty cool.
Can you give an example of what a conversation might look like with a candidate in the chatbot? What kind of questions are the candidates asking? What kind of responses are they getting? How long do they last? What does this look like for somebody who is interested in this?
Yeah, good question. So I think firstly, there's a little bit of, you know, again, the recruiter does need to be heavily involved because the recruiter has the expertise about the company and the types of questions. And so there's a teaching that the employer does to the chatbot. You know, I'll call it teaching in quotes, where the recruiter can actually tell the chatbot the types of questions that he or she wants to ask the candidates using the chatbot. And so there's a library of questions that the chatbot can kind of pull from to then start a conversation with a candidate to do that pre-screening. Now, the chatbot is also really good at, so like Brazen, for example, we have partnered with Google's AI-powered natural language processing framework called Dialogflow. And so when the candidate comes to chat with the chatbot, which they don't know is a chatbot, but they're asking the chatbot, or the chatbot's asking the candidate questions, the candidate is responding, the Google framework is able to interpret the category of response that a candidate gives. So if it's a name, the chatbot knows that this person just gave me their name. They just typed in their name. I recognize a name. And so my follow-up question naturally, and this is, you know, the expertise that our dev team, Brazen's team, kind of adds into it. But, you know, what is the response when someone gives a name? Well, naturally, if I introduce myself to someone, you know, I might ask them some more details about who they are, their experience, or maybe, it's the opportunity for the chatbot to ask for a phone number because the recruiter isn't necessarily available at that time. And so the chatbot knows how to navigate that very naturally. Which is why, you know, the framework is a natural language processing, right? It takes the inputs from the candidate and it's able to, along with the inputs from the recruiter, output a question or a response that seems very natural to both the candidate and anyone that would be, reviewing or looking at that conversation.
And then last question for this section. What kind of ROI should an HR leader in an organization look for when implementing this type of conversational recruiting system?
Yeah, another great question. So we've poured through our clients' data over the last few years. And, you know, one thing I didn't mention is that Brazen has been, even though we haven't called it conversational recruiting until the last year or two, we've been doing conversational recruiting since really our get-go. We used to do online career fairs, or we still do online career fairs, online events is kind of our bread and butter. But at the core of those is conversations between candidates and recruiters. We've more recently expanded into the AI-powered chatbot, the live chat, the scheduled chat. But when we look at all of this data over the last couple of years, we, number one, we'll see earlier on, I talked about conversion rates at the top of the funnel. Number one, we've seen conversions go up by 2x at the top of the funnel. And so more qualified candidates are entering the funnel and fewer unqualified candidates are entering the funnel. And then we're also, you know, the most important thing is the hiring numbers. We're also seeing across the board on average a 2x increase in the number of hires. And so that's kind of that whole funnel. And, you know, when we actually pitch to prospects, we walk through that funnel and we show them that, look, through our numbers and through Glassdoor's research and AppCast research, it actually takes close to 5,000 job seekers visiting your career site or job rec to get just one hire. And so we're able to help these talent acquisition teams get more bang for their buck. Because again, you know, they're still going to do all the sourcing and recruitment marketing that they're currently doing, but you know, they're spending a lot of money to get job seekers, to get candidates to their digital ecosystem, to their job requisition pages. Why wouldn't they want to convert more? They do. And that's what we're helping them do.
That's awesome. So now we're going to have a little fun and a lightning round. I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Where I ask you a real, random, and ridiculous question.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. The real question. Do you like bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
Huh. I don't know much about bread pudding. Now, I do like it. My wife is a connoisseur of desserts. When we go out, her dessert is a breadth of, you know, cakes and ice creams and gelatos. And I think, you know, bread pudding definitely falls into that mix. I'm more of a after dinner scotch guy. So as far as bread pudding goes, I would say prepared in any way my wife likes it. And she usually wants me to take one bite of it. And I usually do. But bread pudding is very good.
I should have had her on the podcast. Well, I am a bread pudding connoisseur. I always ask every guest just because I love it so much. But maybe we can turn you into a believer as well. So we'll go into the next question.
Well, real quick, what's your favorite way for it to be prepared so I can, you know, show my knowledge next time I'm out with my wife on a date?
So the other day, my wife and I were out to dinner and we had banana pudding. Bread pudding. That was pretty good. I had a cinnamon roll bread pudding not too long ago. And then I also had this brioche bread pudding.
That's fancy. Now I eat a banana a day, so I think I'd have to go option A.
All right. Sounds good. So the random question. What's the most random job you've ever had?
So I think when I first graduated from college, before I went back to school to get my MBA, I worked for the adoption services division of the Department of Health and Family Services in Wisconsin. And it was so random. I mean, I was really brought in to help to digitize a lot of the adoption files. But it was one of the most eye-opening jobs that I ever had, because I would, on a daily basis, in addition to entering these files into a computer system, I mean, you're seeing and reading about these families that, you know, were you know, kind of broken apart, you know, when a child was born and put up for adoption, but you know, and a lot of times that can be sad. But then you also read about in these files of these children that were adopted, and they're later in their life, they've had a happy life with their adopted parents, and they're allowed to come back and request information about their birth parents if the birth parents have given access to those files. And so, I mean, you're reading about these stories, some sad and some so happy, and it really was just eye-opening for me, and it helped me, get through some very, again, menial tasks of entering data into a system.
Got it. Man, that's pretty intense. That is random.
It was.
And then the last question, the ridiculous question. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about AI, whether it's going to take over the world or it's going to be like the Terminator. So when you're selling your product, what is one of the most ridiculous things you think you've heard in regards to why you shouldn't use AI in recruiting?
One of the most ridiculous things that we've heard in response using to AI. Why someone should or shouldn't use AI in recruiting. I think that a lot of people, and I think deservedly so, believe that chatbots are not feasible to have real conversations with candidates because, I think that chatbot, and I'm using that in quotes, has been around for probably 20 something years, especially on the customer service side of things. And I think that there's been a lot of customers, a lot of prospects that have had bad experiences with chatbots. But I can reassure the recruiters of the world that things have changed. We are changing things. We're paving the way to ensure that AI and chatbots are providing a great candidate experience, and that it's only getting better and better from here. So nothing to worry about.
Great. Well, Joe, thank you so much for educating all of us on conversational recruiting. You've been an awesome podcast guest. Thank you so much. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Bruce.
So
glad to be here. And next time, give me a heads up on the bread pudding. I'll try it.
I will definitely. So where can people find you and Brazen online?
Oh, www.brazen.com. You can also find us on Twitter at BrazenHQ. And our company page on LinkedIn, Brazen Conversational Recruiting.
Great. Well, thank you again for being such a great podcast guest. So all you listeners out there, if this was your first time listening, I hope you really enjoyed the podcast. We work really hard to make sure that we're providing you the most interesting topics around HR data, HR trends, and HR tech. If you did like this and you would like to come back, then make sure that you subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. And for those of you who really enjoyed us and want to become super fans, we would love for you to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes because that shows that you love us and we can continue to provide you with this awesome podcast. So lastly, all you HR leaders out there, continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.